what had begun as a period of enthusiastic uprising for political change in the Arab Spring is now evolving into another type of upheaval. Richard Haass, president of the Council on Foreign Relations, has written an article, Arab Spring Has Given Way to a Long, Hot Summer. And he joins us on the line. Welcome, Mr. Haass.
Thank you.
So how is the Arab Spring evolving?
Well, it's evolving not well. In some cases, it's proven awfully difficult to dislodge regimes. We've seen that in places like Libya, Yemen to some extent, Syria, and then in places where regimes have been replaced, say Egypt or Tunisia, but particularly Egypt, what's there is not necessarily clearly better yet. So many of the hopes for phrases like democratic revolution, Arab Spring, and democracy and the like, at best are premature, and at worst are simply not going to be fulfilled.
In your article, you say a region is being produced that is, quote, less tolerant, less prosperous, and less stable, end quote. Why do you believe this?
Simply based on the evidence. If you look at what's going on, in many places you have civil wars. Again, I'd mention Libya and Yemen. In places like Syria, you've got extraordinary violence internally. And then in other places like Bahrain and Egypt, it's not obvious that you're going to have smooth transitions to something demonstrably better. So again, the optimist may ultimately be proven right, but so far at least there's scant evidence to suggest they will be.
So you think the chances are slim of something coming about that's more democratic and free?
At the moment, I would say the chances are slim that you would have a widespread set of changes that would be ultimately lead to peaceful, prosperous, tolerant, democratic societies. I just don't yet see the prerequisites.
Can outsiders do much to change the course of events in the region?
So far, at least, the evidence is outsiders have at best a limited role. In places like, say, Egypt, which is arguably the most important country, outsiders are largely just that. They're outsiders. They're bystanders. They could perhaps help with some advice, though a lot of it's resisted or resented. They can offer some economic support, but the needs are enormous. Ultimately, it's going to be Egyptians who are going to determine their own future. And when you look at other countries, again, say Syria, outsiders can criticize the government. They can put in place sanctions. But again, it's not obvious to me, at least, that what outsiders do will prove decisive in any fashion.
I particularly enjoyed a phrase in your article. It said, interests are greater than influence. Perhaps you could explain this phrase.
Sure. The interests of the outside world in the Middle East are great, whether it's energy resources or concerns about terrorism, concerns about proliferation, a desire for human rights and democracy, a desire for peace between Israelis and Palestinians. So the interests are obviously extensive. But again, the ability of outsiders to protect those interests or to promote the sorts of changes they'd like to see is quite limited. So what you have is a real foreign policy conundrum where, as you cited, the interests are much greater than the capacity to protect and promote them. And that's never a situation you want to be in if you're in the foreign policy business, but in this it suggests it's simply a fact.
You also say that one of the most important lessons from the Arab Spring is the simplest, that military intervention should, as a rule, be avoided.
Absolutely. Libya ought to be a case in point, but even before that, places like Iraq and Afghanistan ought to have sobered people. It's very hard sometimes to use military force to dislodge a regime. But it's even harder to put something better in its place. Or to put it another way, it's a lot easier to begin an intervention than it is to conclude it successfully. So I would think, as a general rule, outsiders ought to look to other approaches, whether it's conditional economic help, essentially saying we will offer aid if certain criteria met. You say publicly what you advise privately. If need be, you can introduce sanctions. All of these things are potentially useful. Probably none of these things is potentially decisive.
Your article is complex, but if there was one thing you would like a reader to walk away with, what would that be?
That we need to be realistic and sober about what is going on in the Middle East. We need to think about it over the long term and try to slow down the pace of change. Fast change is not necessarily going to give us good change. That we want to play for time because building real democracies, building real market economies is not the sort of thing you can do in matters of weeks or months. So the outside world, but also hopefully insiders in the Middle East, will take a gradualist approach to change. But as they say in driving, speed kills. So we ought to try to promote change, but again, in a very slow, steady fashion.
Well, thank you very much for taking your time and joining us today.
Thank you for having me.